Certified Specialist Health Interpreter Sample Materials. Task B.
Task Instructions.
You will shortly hear a monologue of 500 to 550 words in English. The monologue will be played in three segments. Each segment will be played once with no pauses. You cannot request a repetition of any part of the monologue. You are allowed to take notes while each segment is being played. You must interpret using the consecutive mode. You are expected to begin interpreting 5 to 10 seconds after each of the segments has been played. A chime will sound at the end of each segment. A second chime will indicate that the speaker is about to begin the next segment. The following interpreting brief provides the context for the monologue.
Interpreting brief.
You will be interpreting for a surgeon conducting a handover to a registrar in China regarding a patient, Mr. Ye. During his holiday in Australia, Mr. Ye collapsed and sustained blunt force trauma to the head. He was taken to the Prince of Wales Hospital by ambulance. CT scans showed he sustained subarachnoid hemorrhage overlying left parietal lobe. He underwent brain surgery. Whilst the surgery went well, he later developed a urinary tract infection, which was also treated. Mr. Ye started rehabilitation at the hospital in Australia and is about to be discharged and go back to China to continue treatment and rehabilitation. Dr. Blackwell is his surgeon, and he is speaking to Dr. Wong, the registrar at Shanghai First Hospital. Dr. Blackwell has organized an interpreter in order to hand over the patient over video conference and discuss the surgery, complications, and necessary follow-up. Mr. Ye is not present. Dr. Blackwell asked the interpreter to interpret in the consecutive mode. The interpreter is sitting next to Dr. Blackwell. The monologue begins now.
Hello, Dr. Wong. Thanks for joining us today. And my name is Dr. Blackwell, and I'm the neurosurgical registrar at the Prince of Wales Hospital. So the patient we're discussing is Mr. Ye. He's a 58-year-old male from Shanghai, and his date of birth is the 13th of January, 1961. So Mr. Ye was visiting Sydney when he collapsed and fell. He sustained blunt force trauma to the head. His head hit the pavement. He was received via ambulance at our hospital, and paramedics had stabilised all the external bleeding, and he was given 5 milligrams of morphine. We had no history available from the patient, as initially he was non-communicative with a Glasgow coma score of 10 out of 15, E3 V2 M4. So no alcohol use was suspected, and we did some blood tests and found no abnormality detected, aside from a slight metabolic acidosis on ABG and incidental hyperbilirubinemia. We did a CT scan, and it showed subarachnoid hemorrhage overlying the left parietal lobe. I was the on-call neurosurgical registrar and organised an emergency transfer to theatre. That was 4 weeks ago. So it was an uncomplicated surgery. There were no perioperative issues. We performed a digital subtraction angiography with right femoral access to the left common carotid. We found a wide neck aneurysm at the A12 junction that was 3.5 by 7.4 millimetres. There was a pericolossal artery arising from the posterior aspect of the neck of the aneurysm. And we packed it with four coils. Then we did a repeat CT 3 days post-op, which showed a resolution of the subarachnoid hemorrhage. The patient's rehabilitation progressed slowly. It was complicated by residual right-sided weakness and difficulty regaining function for most of his activities of daily living, like feeding. On day 5 after his operation, we noted an increased confusion, so we ordered a repeat CT scan, and this ruled out any reoccurrence of the hemorrhage, and there was no hydrocephalus. However, when we did a septic screen, he was found to have a urinary tract infection. It was E. coli, which was resistant to amoxicillin, so we treated him with ciprofloxacin, 500 milligrams BD for 5 days. His confusion then settled, and rehabilitation progressed without further issues. We gave him physiotherapy sessions for mobilisation, and we found he engaged well after the UTI was treated. The social worker talked to the patient's family here in Australia and helped organise a plane ticket once he was cleared to fly. So yesterday our final examination findings were as follows. GCS 15 out of 15, cranial nerves grossly intact, pupils equal and reactive to light, no ocular motor disturbance, no asymmetry or facial muscle paralysis, right upper limb power was 4 out of 5 for risk flexion, all other motor units were 5 out of 5, there was no sensory deficits to light touch, pain or temperature. He has normal proprioception and vibration sensation. No abnormality detected in the left upper limb, and bilateral lower limbs were normal. The patient passed trial of void and is continent of urine and faeces. So we're planning to discharge him today, and he'll be getting on a plane tomorrow. He'll need a repeat CT angiogram in 12 weeks, and I would recommend this be reviewed by a neurosurgeon if possible. He's discharged with oxycodone 5 milligrams, QID, PRN for pain relief. I've given him 5 days' supply of insulin. It would be good for you to organise for serial blood pressure measurements to assess for hypertension. We need to maintain ambulatory BP under 140 systolic. I'd recommend a neurosurgical examination once he settles back in China. Dr. Wong, you've got my email. If you need any more information, please just contact me.
End of task.